Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Just like to remind you, Brandon, it is a God Talk Friday, so if you could refrain from any of the bad words as get into our Lord on the God Talk Friday.
Our Lord.
Before we get going, we definitely need it. Your 5 seconds of silence brought to you by the Smarticle Podcast. I know this is a big existential question, but does God have silence?
God is silence.
Oh, and noise at the same time?
Yeah, God is in everything in all times.
I'm taking this out of our comfort zone. We normally get our links from the Center for Action and Contemplation, who they're deeply involved in land at this point. We're going in a different direction. Here's the headline today. Is a Christianity without boundaries still Christian? This comes via Sojourners and Mitchell Atencio.
Love Sojourners. Get my daily reading every day from Sojourners. It's a great organization, a very liberal Christian organization. They would definitely be leaning more towards the universalist side in terms of like the hardcore right wackadoodle Christians.
Interesting. Here's the headline, then we'll get into it. Who is a true Christian? The call to make America great again has coincided with the call to make Christianity great again. They basically took some quotes from a book. I don't even remember. I don't know where the book is, but it's a new author wrote a book. They're kind of
Yeah, I like that you didn't reference the book and the thing you sent me, but I did go back to the original article. It's about it's kind of an interesting read in terms of the overall book is fairly interesting, but it's talking about some weird concept of no orthodoxy church.
All right, here's the smidge. People feel that their identity as Christian is threatened or that it's at stake in these debates. We want continuity because it's the source of the stability of what it means to be a Christian. At least that's the widespread assumption. We have tradition, we have orthodoxy, we have these concepts to set boundaries because we want to know that we're inside those boundaries and that the things we disagree are outside those boundaries, which generates a lot of tension and conflict over who gets to determine what remains in continuity with the past and what doesn't. Last part. I'm shifting the concept of essence from something stable and continuous to something unstable and discontinuous. That is to say that each person or each local community is empowered to explore new conceptions of their identity as Christian, and that process, that quest for discovery and reconstruction, is itself important. In other words, we're not trying to find what is true Christianity, but rather the finding itself. Christianity is being manifested. Do I got this right? That they're just saying like, hey, when it comes to being a Christian anymore, just throw out the book. Throw it out.
Well, the book title he wrote is called Who is a True Christian, which is important because it's pretty straightforward. It's like he's asking the question because I think that, and I think this is an important thing to note. You and I both grew up, you know, in fairly orthodox families in terms of...
Except when you went to that snake handling church, but go right. on.
But we grew up in what we would call mainline traditional Christianity, where there was a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. Mm-hmm. And our way, wherever we went, was the right way, and the other people had it all wrong. I remember vividly when we went to that snake handling church where they talked about how Mormons were of the devil. And I was like, really? I mean, I didn't know what a Mormon... I'd never met a Mormon at that point, I don't think. But like...
They picked out Mormons.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they're going to let you know that Mormons are really, really bad. And as a grown man, I'm like, you know, I don't necessarily believe in the tenets of the Mormon church, but I'm like, I've met a lot of really nice Mormon people. And I think
they... got a lot of trapeens.
Yeah, and so it's like, you know, it's that who's in and who's out. And I think that he is pushing at this question, and that sort of the idea that he's come to is this idea of instead of an orthodoxy, he's come to a polydoxy, which is the word that he used. I had to look up because I was like, polydoxy? And that is that in order to live within a polydoxy community, you need to allow for all forms of thought to exist. Now, some people call that universalism. He's not really saying that. There's a different, you know... at its core, there is a fundamental difference to what polydoxy is, and I'm still struggling with trying to figure that out, but it's pretty interesting that he's pushing into that.
It's sort of, to me, it kind of lines up with, like, there are MAGA Republicans and there are Republicans, right? And there's this, like, fight in the Republican Party to be like, are you MAGA or are you a Republican? And I feel that's kind of the same way with Christianity. Like, are you a Christian or are you, like, a Christian nationalist? There's, like, this... everybody's having this argument about terminology.
Yeah, that's very true. And the irony is that many of these people that are in the Christian MAGA side don't agree with each other anyway. It's a very, it's an interesting thing. I think that, if I'm honest, I struggle a little bit with this idea of universalist or polydoxy, because at some point you say, is there no right or wrong about anything? And that's the question I know you've been wrestling with for a long time. But I kind of wonder, is like, at what point is just everything goes and there's no point to anything? Does it make sense? He says, what polydoxy helps to conceptualize is a way of thinking about the communal participation that is rooted in consent and engagement and the freedom to violate those boundaries and move away from a community. So it's kind of interesting. It's saying, basically, the thing that you and I have been struggling with is we're tired of sort of hypocritical people that live in, you know, mega churches and have lots of money telling us how to live our lives. And we're saying, no, we're going to make our own decisions on how best to follow God. That's what bothers a lot of the mainline Christians, because they're like, oh, you got to follow your whatever your pastor says or whatever your priest says, whatever the Pope says. And I think you and I wrestle around the idea that it's important for each individual to wrestle with what God is to he or she.
Yeah, I don't necessarily care anymore if someone calls me a Christian or not, or if I call myself a Christian or not. I just don't want anybody to think that I'm like the Christian nationalist MAGA guy who just showed up on January 6th to burn down the Capitol because God told him to. I just don't want anybody to think I'm that.
Well, why do you care?
Because I just fundamentally disagree with that.
Right, but I don't want people to think that I don't believe in God. I'm being serious. Like,
it's funny because I don't care. I don't care if people don't think I believe in God or not. I don't care.
Well, yeah, I guess in a way I don't really care if you think that I mean, ultimately it comes down to what I believe that's important. And I think that's what this idea of polydoxy is. Polydoxy takes it a step further, which is to say that we each have the right to decide for ourselves. And if we want to push back at everything, we have the right to push back at it and to wrestle with this stuff and to push back and not hold on to orthodoxies, like there's only one way to do it and it's this way, or you know, you better turn or burn and that type stuff. So I probably am leaning more towards the polydoxy side of things than the orthodoxy side.
If you could say polydoxy 20 more times before this is over, I'm just letting you know, if you could just, if 20 more times is the goal, I'm gonna set
for
you.
This is how our God Talk Fridays go off the rails, because Larry doesn't really like to talk about substance. He likes to make jokes.
I remember when I was a young evangelical Christian. And
before you were in polydoxy?
Oh, boy. And I remember Bono coming on the scene and people being like, oh, that Bono, like he's talking about God, but he's not a Christian. And it's because I feel like he made the discussion way bigger and you couldn't define it. That's why the conservative Christians didn't like Bono.
But he was a Catholic. That's why they didn't like him.
I know, but also, too, because he just made it way bigger. And I feel like the mainline Christian, whatever that means, wants to narrow the discussion about faith in God. And if you spend any time looking to the universe, you just can't narrow the discussion about God. Can't do it.
Well, I think to me it comes down to, and this is probably core of my identity and sense of sort of being rebellious, and I worry about that. Like, worry about maybe I'm just being rebellious because I don't like people telling me what to do. At my core, I don't like telling people, but that's my pathos at work, not necessarily what's right or what's wrong. But I think that what we push back at is that, wait, who gets to decide that? Why does some dude, I mean, we've all seen what happens with these idiots that get all this power, the Jimmy Swaggerts of the world, you know, and they get caught cheating. Oh, Lord, I've sinned against you. It's like, okay, whatever, Jimmy. This is how you do it. You shut your mouth and you leave. And no one should ever see you again because you were a liar and a hypocrite, right? God can forgive you, but we don't need to necessarily forgive you right now and keep sending you money. So I think that's probably where I come from. I mean, of watching time, even now I go to church and I still, sometimes I'm like, wait, we can't prove any of this. There is no way to prove what you're saying. So instead of saying, hey, listen, this is just what we believe, but we really can't prove it, they try to become apologists. They try to say, well, you know, scripture says, I'm like, wait, we don't even know who wrote that scripture. So that's my point.
You said polydoxy 20 times, and you went to your Southern Baptist preacher voice already, so I know this is a great podcast. The through line that I really got out of this was, like, it's saying, and you talk about this other, the church history. Like, there's something to be said about being connected to some history of your religion. And the one thing that I feel I got scapegoated on in my religion is that there was only one history of the church. But it was only till I turned late 40s that I got introduced to the Desert Fathers. And there was a whole different mystical part of the Christian church that we missed, that we don't talk about, that the Republican conservative Christians don't want to talk. So there is this other angle of mainline Christianity that they don't want to talk about. So there is a historical church perspective that I can connect with.
Yeah, I'm afraid I was the one to introduce you to church father, so maybe
correct.
I ruined you.
Yes, you did.
I don't know what you mean by scapegoated. I think you were looking for another word, and I'm not trying to wordsmith you here, but I'm trying to think. You mean like you're the reason why you feel you've been bamboozled a little bit.
No, but I'm just saying that there is an alter. There is not
there
the mainstream.
There are lots of different views of it. And by the way, the orthodoxy of the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Coptic Church and all these different churches have their own orthodoxies that they believe very strongly in. So who's to say they're not right?
They, by the way, have centuries of history.
Right.
Yes.
Who's to say they're not right? And But I think that's when we get into this discussion about who's right and who's wrong. I loved Rob Bell talked one time about how he got in trouble with that Condi's not going to hell. And he said, can't we just, he said he had a conversation, Rob Bell's a big name dropper. He said he had a conversation with the Dalai Lama, and they were talking about like believing and everything. And he was saying, can't we all agree that God is love? What?
But I just think the antiquated way to break this down is like, who's right or wrong? Never going to know that.
Right.
What I took out of this article was, it is nice to be called a Christian because you have history with a group and a lineage that you can look back on and be, okay, I belong to this tribe.
But don't Muslims have the same thing?
Yes,
and
but
Buddhists?
My point is, even within the Christian, whatever you think of Christianity, there are multiple lines there that aren't talked about. There is a mystical side of the Christian church that does not get talked about.
Oh, well, and then, by the way, that's not new. That's always been the case.
I know, but it's not the conservative MAGA Christian that you hear about, and those people would be...
Of course not. But that's always been the case that the mystics have spoken out, and the church, in the larger church, has always sort of killed them. I mean, you look at the prophets of old. It's ironic that people will quote the prophets, but they don't even understand who these prophets were. They were mystics. They were calling out people for being hypocrites. When people do that today, they're like, oh, they're bad Christians. They're universalists or that. I actually truly believe this. And it would probably make me an apostate in many places, but I believe that Richard Rohr and people like him are like prophets. They are opening up a world, and they are proclaiming something to us to be aware of what's going on around us. I don't think Richard Rohr would say he's a prophet. I don't think he would claim any of that. But when I look at these people that are challenging the status quo, even Pope Francis, that are challenging the status quo in their own world, I think those people are really important. We need to listen to them. But if you're so afraid that if you listen to somebody, you're going to burn in hell, then I think maybe you need to look at your own faith.
Hey, but some people got to hang their hat on that, or they can't. I mean, there's some emotionally sensitive people in life, and they're hanging their hat on.
I know, people. But I think that that's one of the problems of our of following a faith when you're doing it based on emotion rather than the true acceptance of God's spirit in your life, whatever that looks like.
Hmm. First of all, you didn't say polydoxy 20 more times since I charged you with doing it.
Yeah, because you embarrassed me, Larry. You shamed me.
Can we change it to make polydoxy great again? Can we put that one in there?
How amazing would it be if all of a sudden Trump became a universalist Christian and really believed in a mystical God and started talking that way? Can you imagine what would happen to all the MAGTARDs if that happened? They would lose their minds.
Every time you said the word polydoxy, I literally thought of a commune in Cloverdale where everybody was naked.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, that's what polydoxy is.
That's not it. Anyway, well, Larry, I'd like to thank you for teaching us that in order to get through a God talk, we have to make a lot of insincere jokes about things that we don't understand.